We continue our series in Galatians, and we see some of the same themes that we've already seen that Paul continues to expand upon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word together, open our hearts to receive all that you want to teach us this morning, that we might know you better and experience your love and strength in our hearts by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if you've been in hospital recently and maybe you've had to wear one of those very fetching gowns and that seem to cover very little. And then you stay in a ward with others in the same beds and everybody almost looks the same. You're all patients. It's a great leveler, isn't it, that what is happening there. And a hospital chaplain who goes from bed to bed might be surprised at who he meets. It might be a famous scientist, a football legend, or somebody who works for the Secret Service. But in hospital, it is, as you are a patient, a great leveller. You can't take in with you your wealth or your social status and so on. A similar experience was mine when I was watching people being baptised in the River Jordan. And indeed, they were given a white robe that they had to wear over a swimsuit. And everybody, of course, looked almost the same. And as they came out of the water, they were equally wet through. Well, Paul talks a little bit about this in this passage. He says to the Galatians, "You've all been baptized into Jesus Christ." 3 verse 27, "And all of you have been clothed with Christ. You are therefore," Paul argues, "equal before God." And in those verses 26 to 28, "all" is emphasized four times. He is speaking to them as both Jewish and Gentile Christians together. Their own racial or social or sexual status does not make any difference. You all were baptized into faith in Jesus Christ. Jewish men would often pray, "Lord, I thank you that I am not a Gentile, a slave or a woman." Their pride was so strong. But Paul is saying here that faith in Jesus transcends all these differences. We are all one in Jesus Christ. No one can think that his Jewishness, his free status or his maleness has made them acceptable to God. And what does that mean? Well, it means that no one is more favourite. No one is more favourite. Just think about that for a moment. Maybe you were a child who grew up in a family with siblings and one of them was a favourite, got away with more things, more privileges, perhaps had more presents and so on. And you perhaps felt resentful of that, understandably. But in God's family, we're all equally favourite. No one is more favourite. I think that is so comforting, so wonderful. What does it mean for you? You're so loved and accepted by God. As John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you shall not perish but have eternal life." You can put your own name in that. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ. That, put your name. Christine, put, "shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's God's love for you. How wonderful that is. And no one is more privileged. Paul in Corinthians likened Christians to the body of Christ. We are all necessary to make up the body. The body is a unit made up of many parts. 1 Corinthians 12. People of all different backgrounds, nationalities, positions in society, but we all belong to one another to make up the body of Christ. Paul goes on to say that some parts of the body may be less visible or weaker, but all parts are indispensable and all parts are equally vital. And then no one is more superior. Even the disciples, they argued who was the greatest. And then they were shamed as Jesus took his place by their side. They knew that that's what not what they should be thinking about. The kingdom of God is not about who's the greatest, because no one is more superior than another. Christ is the head, and we make up the body together. And so Paul sums that up in verse 28, chapter 3. There's neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave or free. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, equal before God. These, of course, were mind-blowing words at the time, especially to the Jewish male. But you see, the threat to the Galatian Christians was just that. Paul's opponents wanted to add on the burden of the law to faith in Jesus Christ. He wanted to do this to emphasize the distinctions between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And Paul says, no, no, no. Before God, we are all cleansed, forgiven sinners, trusting in Christ alone for our salvation. The question is, do we truly believe this for ourselves, and do we practice it? Do we all accept that we're equal before God? What does this look like in practice? Do we have add-ons to our Christianity that we expect people to conform to? Do we put obstacles in people's way by expecting them to behave in certain ways? Or do we remember the promise to Abraham that it is for all peoples? Therefore, we are all sharing our faith. How do we share our faith? Are we only concerned with like-minded people? Or do we realise that the faith is for people who perhaps are different from ourselves? We need to reflect on how this will be worked out in our own Christian life. And then Paul goes on to say, we are all children of God by faith, verse 26. I wonder what kind of relationship a child has with their parents. If you haven't had a good relationship with your father or mother, just think of the ideal. A child should be loved and secure, humble and obedient, trusting, an intimate relationship with their father or mother. And the parent is the one who cares, who protects, who provides, who guides, who loves, and delights in their child. I love that verse where it says, we are the apple of God's eye. God our Father delights in you and in me. And that is wonderful, as we are his children, his child. And a child, of course, doesn't become a child by their own effects or their own work. So too as God's children. It is by God's grace through Jesus Christ we are adopted into his family. Chapter 4, verse 4. We're adopted into God's family. We are God's child. And because we're God's child, we are an heir. It is the work of Jesus Christ, 4, verse 4, his death on the cross and resurrection that enables our adoption. And it's the work of God's Holy Spirit in our hearts that works within us so that we can bear witness to this. So we, as a child, can call out to God as our Father, Abba, Daddy, Father. Isn't that wonderful? We can have this intimate relationship with God, our Father. Just for a moment, picture a young child sitting with his father. Maybe as his arm is around him, round the child's shoulder. Maybe they're looking at a beautiful landscape. Maybe they're reading a book together. You know, that picture is of you or me with God, our Father. Yes, God, the creator of the universe, God, the almighty, the powerful. But because of Jesus Christ, we can say, Abba, Father, Daddy. As children of God, we have freedom to love and be loved as family members. Paul says before it was as though we were in slavery. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 3. But now we're no longer slaves, but children. And he talks about adopted children, because they would understand, especially in that culture, that you could have had a slave and then you decide to adopt them as your child. And that happened. And that former slave became your child and had all the legal rights of any children actually born to you physically. The full identity as a child. And we have that through Jesus Christ. And again, because of the Jewish Christians there and their emphasis, they're trying to get back, and these add-ons of the law, he reminds the Galatian Christians, and especially maybe the Jewish ones among them, that we are offsprings of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, verse 29, because Abraham had faith to believe God's promise. It wasn't about keeping laws, but about God's promise. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, that through Abraham, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it talks about Abraham's faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, by faith, and so on. Because from Abraham came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky. So, as a child with an intimate relationship with God our Father, why, asked Paul, would you want to go back to being a slave? Chapter 4, verse 8. A good question. But, you know, maybe we wouldn't go back ourselves to that time of legalism. But how easy it is to slip back and not enjoy our intimate relationship with God as we should. Today we often talk about quality time. It's one of the phrases of our present time, isn't it? And we need that with friends, with married couples need it together, or time with our children. All relationships need to be worked at. Otherwise they can deteriorate very quickly. So although we probably wouldn't slide back into the Old Testament laws, we can lose our joy when we forget to talk to our Father or listen to him talk to us. We may even keep up outside appearances, keep up going to church or going along to home group. But instead of feeling loved, we feel guilty. We think about how far short we fall from God's standards rather than how far we've come and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we can put on. Let's cultivate our family relationships with God our Father through prayer, through reading his word and just thinking and reflecting and taking time to be with him and to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It takes effort, it takes strength, but it's necessary to keep up that relationship with God our Father, to spend time, to experience his love, his comfort, his strength, because the Lord is our strength and our song, our joy. And then finally, what do we see in verses 12 to 16 in chapter 4? We see Paul's passion and concern for those he's helped in the faith. First of all, in 12 to 16, he reminds them of their wonderful relationship they did have. And he wants to rekindle that. But of course, they don't take kindly to being told things easily, as most of us don't. And verse 19, how he longs to help them. He likens it to the pains of childbirth. Now, I'm not sure what he really knew what that meant, ladies, but there we go. He likens it to the pains of childbirth. Because he's so at pains because of what they're doing, because they're no longer following Christ as the way, the truth and the life and being wholeheartedly behind that. They want to have these add-ons and Paul says no. But he gives us a great example, Paul, here, of that prayerful concern and passion for those who are young in the faith, or maybe for those who yet haven't made that step of faith. I know sometimes I can be a bit haphazard in prayer for friends who don't yet know Jesus. But Paul's passion for the churches he helped to set up is unwavering. I'm so thankful, and I can say it today, for so many of you who do a wonderful work, a wonderful ministry looking after your home group or your ACT group, just as Paul looked after the churches. It's a great calling and a calling to each one of us to love one another, even as Christ loves us. So to sum up, we're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, no add-ons. God's Holy Spirit in us enables us to call God our Father, Abba, Daddy. We are children of God, and as such we have an intimate relationship with God our Father. And we are all equally God's favourites. No one is more favourite than you. We are Abraham's offspring through faith, because God promised that through him, all peoples of the world will be blessed. And as members of God's family, let us continue to love and care for one another after Paul's example. Amen.